Never in my life have I ever seen anything like this. I hope that I shall never, ever see anything like it again.
Broadcaster Cliff Mitchell-Moore's first on-the-scene impression of a disaster that was unfolding. The villagers of Abervan had voiced their worries that the coal waste piled high on tip number 7 on Merthyr Mountain was in danger of moving. At 9.15 one morning, it did.
All that remains from 1966 is essentially a large section of the original school wall.
And where would your classroom have been then?
It was the part of the school that took the main brunt, more or less in the middle of the current memorial garden.
David Davis guides me around the site of Pantglass School, where 50 years ago he was an 8-year-old pupil, presumed dead.
I was pulled out of the school and was placed initially with the dead bodies and covered in a blanket. Someone thought they saw my foot move. I was re-examined and found to be still alive and taken off to the local hospital.
Gaynor Madgwick was part of a large, happy family, until the negligence of the coal board enabled the disaster that killed her 10-year-old sister Marilyn and her 7-year-old brother Carl. Gaynor spent 3 months in hospital.
They were tidying up by the time I got home from hospital. So you can only see pictures. And when you look at the devastation on the pictures and you look at the height of all the muck and debris, you think, how in the hell did I come out of that alive?
Kindness is running through the streets, whilst around your ankles runs this long, thick mud.
Among the rescuers who'd come from far and wide was a 19-year-old member of the Territorial Army, Dennis Moss. His experiences over 2 nights and 3 days led him into a career as a paramedic.
I was standing on top of that and looking at the classroom and I couldn't believe how high it was. And then realising the amount of people that were buried underneath it. Never really spoke about it, but it never really went out of your mind. Talking about it now, it like it was only yesterday.
This anniversary is a landmark event, but for the surviving parents of children who died, every day is one for reflection. Marilyn Brown's daughter was 10.
My father started to cry and I said, "Is she all right?" And he said, "No, Jeanette had died," he said, "just identified her." Oh, I said, I want to go and see her. "No, no," he said, "you don't go and see her, she's fine." I said, "What does she look like?" He said, "She's got a tiny mark on her head," and he said, "She's sleeping."
The coal board finally, reluctantly, agreed the disaster had been foreseeable. Villagers campaigned for the other coal tips to be removed. They were, but only after the money was taken from the appeal fund to pay for it. Money paid back decades later. For those who've helped rebuild the village, the scars remain, but have made them stronger, according to survivor Gaynor Madgwick.
"I live every day as if it was my last. We got through it as a community, but you've just got to have that hope."
Today, in an era of rolling news, Abervan is once again in the media spotlight. Its story will continue to be told. The villagers hope its lessons will be learned.